My face was buried in an expense report when the office door swung open. A woman in a silk blouse, moving like a blue streak, didn't stop until she reached the front of the desk.
"You've got to help me."
"Clyde," I muttered. I looked through my half-open door to see why my receptionist had failed, once again, to stop an interloper. By the time I turned back to the woman, she was already mid-sentence.
"Captain Don, I'm sure you heard. It was no accident. I have proof."
"Slow down, Ms.
Donahue. Tess.
Clyde." Nothing fried me like doing expenses. Since it was one of the handful of things I expected of Clyde, along with answering the phone and keeping people from barging in. It had already been one of those mornings. I nearly missed the subway thanks to the flash mob outside the Apple store. Bunch of fippies. Hippies who protest phone-related injustice.
"What do we want? Extended store hours. When do we want it? Sundays and holidays."
"Do you have an appointment, Ms. Donahue?"
"Please, Mr. Fitch."
"Fitch.
Fitch."
She crossed her arms. This one wasn't used to hearing no. With a slender finger, she curled sandy blonde hair behind one ear. She looked at the license hung crookedly in a bare space on the wall. I half expected her to put me in my place by pulling out her degree from the Stanford Graduate School of Business.
"I hear you're the best. I'll do anything," she said.
She flashed a smile, but her heart wasn't in it. Exhaustion tugged the skin under her eyes. She'd been attractive in her day, and commanding, and that day wasn't so long ago. In this town, I've heard a term used for someone like her. TELF, Tech Executive I'd Like to Fund.
"Look," she said, "I can get you friends and family shares."
I clenched my teeth. Early on a Monday, I thought, for this kind of desperation. A guy had come in a few weeks earlier and tried to weasel out of his bill by offering me solar panels for my car. Since the second boom started and the techies came north, I figured I'd heard it all. I held up my left hand, flashed the ring finger. "I'm all filled up with friends and family."
"I thought you guys were all lone wolves."
"State your business, Ms. Donahue." The famous last name swelled in my mouth, tasted like the entire month's nut. Made it tough to toss her on her keister. "You busted in past Clyde, and I'm knee-deep in figuring monthly expenses."
"I'm sorry, that was presumptuous. I'm trying to get your attention."
I scratched my face. I should have shaved. "Your dad died, cycling skyline. I'm sorry, but accidents happen." I'd read it in the paper. It made all the news. Donald Donahue, Captain Don, technology industrialist and garden variety eccentric, flipped over the handlebars and face-planted not long after fueling up at Alice's. It happened 2 weeks earlier, then a big memorial with mucho heart-rending about Captain Don's world-changing ideas. After making his money on this thing and that, he became obsessed with using singularity to achieve immortality, some sort of far-fetched nonsense to use computers to create eternal life.
"It wasn't an accident," Ms. Donahue said.
She spread her palms open, flat, like,
"Don't you see?"
"So you said. Respectfully, that's why we've got police, Ms. Donahue."
"Mrs.
Excuse me?
Mrs. When I got married, I kept my maiden name, but took the Mrs."
I must have shaken my head because she explained,
"Helps balance tradition and independence. Tradependence, for short, maybe. The community is still crowdsourcing the nomenclature."
I didn't bother to ask what community.
"Listen, Mrs. Donahue, technically, I've got a day job.